Chapter 12. The grey-purple storm skeins of hyperspace streamed past the construct's shimmer ship as it hurtled onwards in pursuit. The quarry, now identified as a Type 38 Ombilan transport called the Scarabus, was on course for a location in Indrama space, with its hyperdrive pushing near the design limits. The stealthed shimmer ship had managed to cut the transport's lead to a mere 100 clicks objective, and now a fist-sized silver-white probe was gliding out ahead of it, heading straight for the transport. In control of the probe was Lieutenant Sam Brock. She was strapped into a recess in the shimmer ship's compartment, knees drawn up, arms crossed, and eyes closed as the interface Tiarette cued her sensorium into the probe's function set. She could see the Scarabus directly ahead and growing larger as the intervening distance shrank.
4 minutes and 12 seconds until cluster bulb launch, Lieutenant, said the drone Rensik Estimil. This stealth hunt tactic of yours is beginning to look promising.
Brock smiled tolerantly, or was she just imagining herself smiling? She was sure that the drone had expected her to be so disorientated and nonplussed that she would have asked to relinquish control to the shimmer ship's own AI, or even to Rensik, which would have turned her surveillance idea into the drone's. But that wasn't going to happen.
All systems are optimal, sir, she said. Launch prep is complete.
Versatile efficiency in a human. My probabilistics partition may never fully recover.
On through the roiling, mad cyclone chaos of raw hyperspace, the ships flew, pursuer and pursued, with the small probe sitting at the tip of a force field array braided in a spear configuration. That spear of structured energies now projected 30 kilometres in front of the shimmer ship and was still extending. The seconds ticked away, and the probe steadily moved closer. With 10 seconds to go, the intervening distance was not quite the 5 clicks Brock had presented in her simulation, but was still within the cluster bulb's range. The countdown reached finality, and the probe, Brock's awareness, experienced a slight kick as the cluster bulb was launched. It was about the size and shape of a small egg, and a cross-shaped aperture in its rear was emitting a blue-white flame, the output of a tiny reaction drive burning some propellant of the drone's own devising. It shot away from the probe, steep acceleration sending it across the last few clicks in less than a minute. 200 meters from the transport, an inner mechanism triggered the dispersion stage, and the bulb broke apart into an expanding cloud of nano-assembled sensor mites.
Impact in 5 seconds, Brock said,
although, to be more accurate, the leading edge of the mite cloud would land on the transport's stern first, with the rest touching down all across the upper hull from aft to prow.
First scans coming in, compiling initial list of accessible hull ports and devices. How good of you to keep me informed, said the drone. Notify me when we have any data that's of any use.
It did not take long. Every sensormite was equipped with a squad of nanobots capable of breaking into hull devices and conduits and using the ship's own cables and substrates to build their own surveillance network. In one layer of the Tiarette interface, Brock could see the clandestine connections spreading and multiplying, reaching out to encompass the shipboard comweb node by node. Data began to stream, audio feeds coming from 2 areas of the ship, voice conversing. The shimmer ship's linguistics AI was ready with a battery of cognitizers to deal with vocabulary and syntax based on, but not limited to, the intel gathered at the last planet. Heuristic conversation yielded dialogue strings that were subjected to response logic analysis. After entire minutes, both Brock and the drone were taking in the content of 2 discussions, one from the vicinity of the main cargo hold, the other from the ship's bridge. The former involved 2 bodyguards pledged to 1 Gbrozen Mav, also on board. They discussed which clans they came from, any possible family connections, favourite sidearms and melee weapons, and the incomprehensible strangeness of the ship's previous crew, going by the enigmatic things they kept in their cabins.
The other conversation was between Gabrozen Mav himself and another follower called Hechek, also referred to as Toolbearer. As they talked about their situation, it quickly became clear that some catastrophic trap or ambush was due to happen at a place called Armag City, and that it would lead to the death or capture of several important resistance leaders. Other pieces of background and recent events cropped up here and there. The ship's original crew and its captain, a human called Pike. How Gabrozen Mav and his followers had been marooned shortly after his discovery that the trusted Khor was a traitor. And there was mention of the rulers of the megasystem, a species or authority called the Shuskar, against whom they were rebelling. And a small group of senior Shuskar called the Gunlords. There was also speculation as to whether the Shuskar would deploy the Zavri or the Avang against the unsuspecting resistance forces. Both options were framed in overtones of dread.
"Well, at least now we know who the big bad is or are," said the drone Rensik. "The Shuskar. Not heard of them before, but cultural data from the Andromeda Galaxy has never been comprehensive by any means. Preliminary cultural analysis indicated that they have been in control for several centuries, though, so these tournament battles clearly serve a purpose of value."
"Like pitching possible allies against one another?" Brock said. "Divide and conquer? Foster tribal rivalries to fever pitch to ensure the minions never unite against their rulers?"
"Point being,
sir, if this ambush succeeds, it could seriously affect the outcome of our mission."
"You're suggesting that we ride to the rescue, Lieutenant? This is a spy ship, not a planet-burning super dreadnought."
Sam smiled, sure that she had the drone's measure.
"I think we can, sir, but subtly. Throwing spanners in the works when they're looking the other way, that kind of thing."
"Nice use of action-based metaphor there. Must admit that I almost wish we were flying a battleship, one of those big jobs the Ufangir used to make, multi-cycle shields and an insane number of gun batteries. But this is a clandestine mission, nominally, anyway. So, subtlety is our middle name. And we are not at home to miss the frontal assault. What do you have in mind?"
Sam glanced at the status updates.
"Well, sir, we need a lot more intel, and we won't get it from the Scarabus memory banks. Therefore, we need to shadow Gabrozen Mav all the way to the Great Harvest System. When we reach this Armag City, hopefully there will be some kind of data net that we can infiltrate and cajole into giving up its secrets."
"That's refreshingly practical of you, Lieutenant. You can decouple from the probe now. My monitors indicate that our quarry is about to drop out of hyperspace."
The probe was already being pulled back to its little recess in the Shimmer ship's hull as Sam took off the tiaret.
"Sir," she said, "would this be a good time for me to learn the basics of the ship's weaponry?"
"Weaponry? I think you have misconstrued the Shimmer ship's design philosophy, Lieutenant. Essentially, it's built for sneaking, not for skirmishing. It has no attack capability, but its stealth systems are second to none."
"I see. May I ask if you have a decent-sized nanofac on board?"
"I do. Why?"
"I was not permitted to leave the base with standard-issue weapons, but I did bring along some templates for useful hand weapons. Sir, if mission progress requires actual boots-on-the-ground intervention at some point, I would like to be able to defend myself."
"I already have a selection of small arms designs drawn from the construct's archives, but feel free to load your own if you prefer. There. You now have access to the builder systems. You'll see that there are dimensional limits, so portable pulse cannons are sadly off the menu."
Sam smiled brightly. "Thank you, sir. I'm sure that I can come up with something practical."